the best seafood empanadas ever, singing back up with a world-famous musician, and firewater made from sugarcane. This week, we're in Cali, Colombia.
Traveling the world to bring you delicious dishes, tasty beverages, and interesting experiences. This is the Destination Eat Drink Podcast on the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.
I'm Brent Peterson. Welcome to Destination Eat Drink, the travel podcast for foodies. This is the place where we celebrate food and travel on DestinationEatDrink.com, on the Destination Eat Drink YouTube channel, and here on the Destination Eat Drink podcast. This week, we're in Cali, Colombia for festivals, amazing food, and firewater with Kim Haas. But first, if you enjoy Destination Eat Drink, please consider contributing to the cause with a one-time or recurring gift to Destination Eat Drink at buymeacoffee.com/Destination Eat Drink. And thank you so very, very much. Kim Haas is the creator, host, and producer of the PBS TV show Afro-Latino Travels with Kim Haas. The new season is out now, and Kim talks with me about Cali, Colombia, the Petronio Alvarez Festival, grilled seafood, and firewater called Vichy, plus a visit to an amazing market. It all is great, and I'm starving, so let's eat.
Destination Eat Drink.
Kim Haas, welcome back to Destination Eat Drink. It's been almost 4 years since you were on the show last time talking about Costa Rica. I'm so glad there's new episodes of Afro-Latino Travels with Kim Haas on the air, and welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Brent. I so appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
For people who haven't seen your show, how would you describe Afro-Latino Travels with Kim Haas?
I think it is a journey throughout Latin America and really discovering, or for people who've never been, it's a chance to, it's kind of a window on Latin America and its African roots. So the Afro-Latinos, so the people who give so much of Latin America its sabor, right? Its flavor, its color, vibrancy, energy. It's a chance to meet these people, because so often, if you watch television, you don't see them. And so I just want to honor and celebrate, I think, all the tremendous things that they brought to Latin American culture.
I want to talk about Cali, Colombia. And, you know, Colombia is, you talk about vibrant cultures. I did an episode with Laura Hernandez Espinoza.
Yes.
And
yeah, it was great.
We talked about Bogota. And a lot of people know about Bogota. There's Americans who are living in Bogota. But I really didn't know much about Cali until I watched your show. What was it that drew you to this place in Colombia?
Well, thank you for that. Yes, because people often, you know, they've, even if they haven't been to Bogota, people know Bogota. I mean, they've heard of it, or Cartagena is so popular now. Medellin. For various reasons, you know, but it's, Medellin is experiencing this kind of renaissance. Mm-hmm. But Cali has kind of, you know, been under the radar. And Cali is on the Pacific coast. So these episodes that are on the air are really taking a look at the Pacific coast culture, because Colombia has people of African descent, obviously, you know, throughout the country, but in particular in Cartagena, which is on the Atlantic Caribbean coast, and then Cali, which is kind of the center on the Pacific coast. And Cali is, you know, vibrant and spirited, and it's colorful, and there's so much to Cali. And yeah, it's been kind of under the radar for so many years, but I think Cali it's considered the capital of salsa. I mean, it's got so much energy and vitality to it that it really is worth getting to know.
You mentioned salsa, and there's a ton of music and dance in your show, which makes it so exciting and vibrant and interesting to look at and to listen to at the same time. Talk about singer Nidia Góngora, who was on your show.
Oh, my gosh. I love Nidia. Nidia Góngora is an amazing person. Let me say that human being first. And that's what kind of inspired me with developing the series is because, you know, as I mentioned, people of African descent have contributed so much to Latin American culture, yet you rarely see them on television, radio, you know, and particularly in positive images. And if you would see them, it's usually something negative. And so, you know, as I traveled throughout Latin America and I'm meeting all these people who look like me, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, how come I don't see them on TV? And Nidia is just, you know, all the people that we really focus on in future, we consider just amazing human beings. And Nidia is just an incredible person. She's a singer and she has this amazing voice. And so you'll see her in the episode. I got a chance to kind of, I say, sing back up. And so I was singing with her, as, you know, my dream to sing back up. That's about as close as I'm going to get to it. And she's also a philanthropist. And so she's doing so many things and she's helping, you know, young kids who migrated from some of the Pacific Coast communities who have unfortunately experienced violence and dislocation and violence that's really come from outside of Colombia due to the drug trafficking. And so it's affected many of these Afro-Colombian communities along the Pacific Coast. And she's from Timbiquí, and she talks about that. And she's just, I love what she's doing. And we were so inspired by all the good things she's doing to support her community and providing classes of music and dance and the arts for many children and young people who've been dislocated from their homes. And she's just wonderful and so inspiring. And I asked her about, you know, how does she, you know, resist and how does she fight another day with the violence that some of these Pacific, you know, areas have experienced? And she said, la música, the music.
Yeah.
And it was just so moving.
Am I correct in this, that she also has, in addition to being such a talented musician, that she also has a restaurant? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. So we shot the interview, and she, the restaurant hadn't, it was about to open. And she, you know, aside from singing, as you're mentioning, we had some of her empanadas after. And let me tell you, these were the best empanadas I think I have ever had. So I can still taste them at least, what, a year and a half later. Golden brown, crunchy. It was like a seafood empanada. I mean, they were just delicious. I mean, I'm still like, my mouth is now watering, but they were fantastic. And so, you know, she's kind of like this Renaissance woman. I mean, she's a businesswoman, singer, philanthropist, restaurateur. She's amazing.
Best seafood empanadas in the world. That's pretty high praise, Kim.
I mean, they were that good. I'm telling you. I mean, I'm still tasting them now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You went to this thing called the Petronio Alvarez Festival. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. The Petronio Alvarez Festival is just amazing. It is in Cali, usually held in August of every year, and it is just, I mean, sometimes there are no words to describe it, but I know I've got to, but it's just this amazing coming together of people of the Pacific Coast and to celebrate the traditions of Afro-Colombians. And so it's through music and cuisine and dance. And it's like the marimba, which is this large kind of xylophone. And it's, I think, so beautiful. And it's kind of one of the symbols of music of the Pacific and the people of the Pacific. And it's this, I think, 5-day festival where musicians come in from all throughout the Pacific Coast. And the Pacific Coast has a lot of towns like Nidia's, you know, Timbiquí and Tumaco and that are on or by the water. And so I've been told that people come in on boats to get there. It's like this pilgrimage.
Wow.
Of mostly, you know, Afro Colombians who come in, and it was all designed to preserve their cultural heritage at this point. And it's been running for a couple decades now. And it's just amazing. And I just want to give credit to and honor Petronio Alvarez, who was, it was named after him because it was a way for, he was a musician and he died, you know, many years ago, but it's kind of honoring him and his work and his music. And so it's just coming together and people so connected. And, you know, you feel like family. And I mentioned that Rey Guerrero, who's a chef, well-known Afro-Colombian chef, you know, says that this is like kind of like a homecoming and people just greet each other. And I felt like I was, you know, home. And it was just, it's beautiful. And it's a beautiful celebration of Afro-Colombian culture of the Pacific. So I tell everybody to come and enjoy.
You know, you talk about preserving the culture in Colombia, and of course, food is a big part of culture. What kind of food did you enjoy when you were at the festival?
I mean, there are so many, you know, different kinds and varieties of food, and you can get, you know, empanadas and seafood dishes. And so there's just a mix and great variety of cuisines. I don't know if I have, I'm trying to think of a favorite, but I love seafood. So that's always just a pleasure and something I'm always kind of, you know, hungry for is some good seafood. But I think you can find just about, you know, so much of the area is well represented there. So, you know, there's a great variety and I encourage people just to try everything.
Well, you talked about Nidia's seafood empanadas. How else would you find seafood prepared at this festival? Just grilled or different methods? Anything else that we might hear about and say, oh, that sounds interesting?
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, stews and grilled and you can find just a great variety and different ways of preparing the cuisine of the area. So It's a wonderful opportunity to get immersed in the culture of the Pacific, which again, you know, just isn't as well known as other parts of Colombia.
Seafood on the grill, seafood stews. It sounds like you know, a Portuguese person would be very much at home here too.
Oh, you know what? Portuguese, anybody. If you just a human being, you're gonna love it. You're gonna really love it. If you're just human, you're gonna love it.
At one point, as you're moving through the market, I saw out of the corner of my eye, one of the vendors, it looked like they were taking the long sugar canes and running them through the macerating machine, the one that grinds up the sugar cane, and then the sugar cane juice comes out of that. Now, did you taste any of the sugar cane juice, or even better, any of the fermented sugar cane juice while you were at the festival?
Well, you know what? One of the really key and symbols of the Pacific is this viche, which is this kind of home-brewed alcoholic drink that's made from sugarcane. And so many of the Afro-Colombians make their own viche. So it's like kind of, I was told, you know, like every family has their own viche. And just until about, I think, 2 or 3 years ago, viche was illegal.
Oh.
And it just became, legalized. And so now it can be produced commercially. But viche, I remember I had some viche in Buenaventura, which is one of the Afro-Colombian towns outside of Cali. And it's something. It's supposed to cure whatever ails you. And I say it must cure like everything. Because it's strong, but everybody's so proud of their viche, and it's one of those drinks I think if you go to, especially, you know, Pacific, you got to try it and see what you think. So
viche kind of reminds me of, here in Portugal, they have a local fire water called aguardente.
Right.
They're not the same because they're not made the same way. They're not distilled the same way. They're not distilled from the same ingredients. But the idea that, you know, you go out into some of these towns and every family is making some in their basement. And, you know, one of our local coffee shops that's totally off the map, we go in there and he has like a 3-liter plastic jug of aguardente, and you can get a shot in your coffee if you ask for it. So it sounds like it's kind of the same idea with the viche here.
Yeah. Just what you said that, you know, again, families have their own recipe and, you know, each family, you know, I'm sure, you know, super proud of their ceviche and it's been passed down for generations. I love all that. I mean, I love that sense of tradition and generations and maintaining culture. I mean, I just think that is so super fantastic. And so, yeah, ceviche, I remember having it in Buenaventura and yeah, it was something, but, just knowing that you've got this tradition, you know, in a little, you know, in a little glass or something is, I think, really fabulous. And what makes, I think, travel special and learning about other cultures and other people.
So cool. One of the things I always talk about on this podcast is I recommend folks to do food tours and also make sure they go to the local market when they get to a new city. Yes. And there was a local market in your show, the Alameda Market. Tell me about that a little bit, if you could.
Yeah, the Galleria Alameda, the Alameda Market is just huge, humongous market. I mean, with everything, flowers and vendors of you name it, and it's in Galleria Alameda. Of course, the produce and just the vibrancy of the colors. I love going to Latin America and just seeing the explosion of colors in food markets, right? And learning about foods that we don't have, I'd say, you know, in North America, in the United States in particular, but this, you know, explosion of colors. And Galleria Alameda is just, I mean, a trip in and of itself. You know, you go to the market and as I said, I mean, there were chickens, chickens right there. And it was really a treat. And so I had I met Basilia Murillo, who is a well-known chef restaurateur in Cali. And she's originally from the Chocó region, which is along this Pacific coast again. And Chocó is one of the Afro-Colombian indigenous areas of Colombia. And so she prepared in the show arroz clavado, which is like nailed rice. And it, I tell you, I mean, that's the segment we feature and is so amazingly tasty. I mean, just with, and he puts in some sausage and the seasonings and herbs, really just delicious. Achote oil, which gives it that color. It was so good. And Basilia's been cooking for, I think, 20, 30 years. She's been at the market for about the same amount of time. And she's really considered a staple and a symbol of Afro-Colombian cuisine and cuisine of the Pacific. And so going to Galleria Alameda, Alameda Market, is a real feast, not just for obviously your stomach, but for the eyes. I mean, what do we say? We eat with our eyes too, right? And it's just a chance to look and see all the different kinds of cuisine and food available. It's a real treat. And it's just, you know, it's this noisy, loud place and it's pretty fantastic.
That rice dish looked amazing. And seeing it on TV just made it pop and made me want to go to Colombia and get some.
Exactly. Exactly.
And then, so I was inspired. I said, oh, I wonder how far it is. Now, of course, we're in Portugal, so it's much further. But I looked it up and it's a 4-hour nonstop flight from Miami.
Right.
I didn't realize it was that close. Like you can fly nonstop to Cali from Miami and you're there in 4 hours. That's kind of incredible.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is that Colombia in general, you know, Cartagena is on the Atlantic coast. So it's a hop, skip and a jump very close to, you know, from Miami and then Cali on, you know, the other end, the Pacific end of Colombia. But it is, it's a quick, you know, well, quick, you know, flight, but you can get there. It's doable. And it just opens up, I think, your world to another part of Colombia that, as we talked about, is not as well known, but is just packed with, you know, music and flavors and tradition. It's, you know, it's really unbeatable.
If people from North America or Europe are thinking of going to Cali, How would you tell them to organize their trip? I mean, what kinds of things should they make sure to see and do? Maybe try to be there during one of these festivals would be a good place to start. But what else would you tell them, Kim?
Well, you know what? Thanks for that. You know, I think if you're thinking about going to Cali, I say number one, yes, go. And I would suggest when you're in Cali to go to the Salsa Museum, El Museo de la Salsa, because it is an incredible journey into the history of salsa. We take you to the museum in the episode, one of the episodes, and it's just really a real treat. And so you got to go to, you know, one of the salsa clubs in the evening. There's Tintandeo. There's so many different options. And I think if you can go in August for Petronio, because there's really nothing like it. It's just a wonderful celebration. And there's so much in Cali, even going, just trying to think of some of the, you know, the great restaurants. I would go to Galleria Alameda just to get a sample of what, you know, the Pacific has to offer. And you know what, you can also take, and there's so much in Cali, but I also want to just encourage people to venture out just a little bit, because on one of the episodes, we go to this town called San Cipriano. And, you know, you can go to Cali and get a good sense of the city and what it's like. But then you also might want to venture out to San Cipriano. And it's about 2 hour drive, something like that, from Cali. And it's this green paradise, beautiful, just incredibly beautiful town in the jungle. And it is waterfalls, and the people there will welcome you with open arms. They're doing their best in San Cipriano to bring in and to show visitors their town, and you can stay in camp, and it's just an ecological wonder. It's just marvelous, and there's so many things to do. And if you like bird watching, you can do that there. So it's a nice getaway. And the thing about San Cipriano is that you come in, you can only arrive on their Moto Bruja. And it's a motorcycle that's on this kind of platform that rides along the old railroad tracks. And so you'll see me riding it in the beginning of the episode. And it's just a real, I bet you've never ridden, you know, arrived in a city on a Moto Bruja. but it's a real, you know, it's a real treat. And so that's San Cipriano, and a nice getaway from the city.
Sounds awesome. Now, I know that, you know, we haven't talked in almost 4 years now. And I think when I first had you on the show, the pandemic was either just starting or it was right before the pandemic. I don't recall. But I wanted to ask you before I let you go, Kim, you know, in your neighborhood, in your world where you go out on a regular basis, anything new in your neighborhood from a food perspective that you think is interesting, or you're really happy that a place stayed open, or you're really glad that a new place has popped up that you like to visit and enjoy some good food in your area?
Oh, boy. Well, let's see. There are so many, you know, because I live in Jersey City. And so part of this New York City, this amazing kind of culinary region. I think what is really wonderful about being in this area is that, you know, it is the world literally right here. And so you can go and sample and try pretty much anything at any time. So that's a hard one, Brent. I'm trying to think of something that I had recently too, that, I really enjoyed, because there's so many great, amazing places here. You know what? I've been just having quite a bit of Thai cuisine lately. I like Thai O'Brien, which is in a community called Bayonne, which is south of Jersey City.
Well, Kim Haas, thank you so much for being on Destination Eat Drink. I'm so glad that Afro-Latino Travels with Kim Haas is back on PBS for a new season. Folks should check their local listings when it airs in their area, and we'll have a link to you in the show notes so that people can find out more. Thank you so much for being here. I love your work. I love the message that you're getting out. And I thank you for being on the show today. Thank you.
Gracias. Obrigada, Brent.
Ciao, ciao. That's the brilliant Kim Haas. And like I said, Afro-Latino Travels with Kim Haas is now airing on PBS. Check your local listings. I've also got a link in the show notes. Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we're in Cadiz with TV's Joseph Rosendo. Until then, get over to DestinationEatDrink.com. I just posted a story about a pastry named after a religious garment. You can read that at DestinationEatDrink.com/blog. And speaking of pastries, I just posted a video about the amazing pastries of the city of Viana do Castelo in Portugal. There's a pastry name for the town, a delicious custard donut, a giant marshmallow cake, and much, much more. You can see that by clicking on the video tab at DestinationEatDrink.com or on my YouTube channel at DestinationEatDrink946. Destination Eat Drink is distributed by the Radio Misfits Podcast Network and Ed Silla. Thanks, Ed. I'm Brent Peterson. I'll see you down the road.
Join us next week for another culinary adventure on Destination Eat Drink, a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network.